Genoa.
This is Yusuf.
And this is
In Flight Entertainment. All right, I still don't know how to phrase our month.
It is the last movie title.
Mm-hmm.
Series.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's our last week of the last.
Last week of the movies that have last in the title.
Yes.
And what a fun ride it was. We went back to a lot of movies that we haven't seen in a while. And it was pretty fun. We're going to do another theme movie type month. You know, so stay tuned.
We'll let you know on Thursday, since we're just sort of a week away from September.
Yes, definitely. But what lasts are we looking at today?
Well, we are going to find out what you did last summer.
Yes, I know what you did last summer. The 1997 slasher. Yeah,
it's horror mystery slasher.
Yeah,
teen slasher movie.
Yes, starring Jennifer Love Hewitt. Man, like I was crushing her hard. She was in a series, right?
She was in Party of Five and Ghost Whisperer.
Okay. Now, it was this movie. I was like, oh, yeah, Jennifer's cute. And then she's in 9-1-1, which the show I like. And yeah, she's pretty good in that, too. So I'm glad she's still doing work. And also stars Buffy herself, Sarah Michelle Gellar.
Stars Anne Heche. Ryan Phillippe. Uh-huh. And Freddie Prinze Jr.
Yes. It's like the who's who of 90s young white actors.
Yes.
They're all good. Oh, and what's her name?
Bridget Wilson Sampras.
Yes. Who, as the video game movie geeks know, as Sonya in Mortal Kombat. The first one, not the second one.
Wait, did you see that they're making another one?
Like animated or like the actual live action?
I think they're making actual live action Mortal Kombat.
I will be in only if the director of The Raid is doing it.
We'll have to find out. We'll report back on Thursday.
Yeah, if it's some like just watered down American director doing Mortal Kombat, I'm like, I'm out. Anyway, we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. So what's the premise of this thing?
So this is four young friends bound by a tragic accident are reunited when they find themselves being stalked by a hook-wielding maniac in their small seaside town.
Yes. Now, like I mentioned, this is a 1997 release. And in 1997... there was some stuff happening. I'll just get my notes out. Okay, so what we were watching in 97, going from 5 to 1st, Monday Night Football, Friends was number 4, Veronica's Closet 3, Clooney and the Gang, ER number 2, and Seinfeld was, you know, holding it down number 1 spot. And a song was Candle in the Wind, Elton John. So, yeah, so Princess Di died in 97, huh?
Yeah, she died July 28th, 29th, 1997.
Okay, yeah, because when I saw Candle in the Wind, I'm like, oh, yeah, she died in 97, because that song was about her.
Yeah, the day she died, I was supposed to be on a train to France. But I ran out of money, so I came back to the U.S.
Yeah, so you drank through your wine rations.
Something like that, yep.
Nice. That's what was happening in 97. Now, okay, so this movie, are they in Maine? Like, where are they? I didn't really get an idea.
They never really say what town. It's just sort of a small seaside town. It could be Maine. It could be Oregon, yeah. Washington. Yeah. They never really say what coast or what town it is. Right. So.
It definitely don't feel like a West Coast. Yeah. It feels very East Coast.
Yeah, I think there aren't the boats going out for lobster or something. So it might be Massachusetts or Maine.
Yeah.
Not Nantucket, but like the coastal towns off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it starts off with a man kind of just sitting on a cliff, like a really large cliff, holding a medallion or some kind of chain. Okay, let me say this about this movie when I rewatched it. Now, I seen it in 97, and like I was just caught up in, you know, in the Kevin Williamson kind of whirlwind of the stuff he was like putting out. Okay, so Kevin Williamson, for people who don't know who Kevin was, he's a writer. He pretty much wrote the screenplay for Scream, Scream and Scream 2 and Scream 4. He created Dawson's Creek, Vampire Diaries. So the like mid late 90s was his, he was dominating, like he was doing it. I think he wrote The Faculty, that movie, which is pretty clever.
The Faculty is a fantastic. It's fun, creepy, right. Good soundtrack.
Yeah. So Kevin was just in his stride. You know, if he wasn't dominating television, he was dominating film. And so it was like, oh, cool. This is like Kevin Williamson, you know, has something to do with this particular film. So I was more wrapped up in that when it came out. Now, are you watching it? I really admire and respect this film because it's so Hitchcockian in the first half of the movie. Like, I didn't realize how, like, really, like you were saying, like a thriller, suspense, you know, almost like, you know, like you said, those quiet East Coast towns with, you know, just creepiness going on. The cinematography was great. It was a long aerial sweeping shot of the ocean, and then it circles around this cliff, and then it tightens in on the guy that's kind of like sitting on the edge of the cliff, and like one kind of aerial shot. And props to the helicopter, whoever like did that shot, because that was pretty freaking amazing.
This is pre what are the little helicopter, small little helicopter
pre-drones. It was pre-drones.
This is pre-drone time. They had to use a helicopter.
Yeah, and wow, I'm like, whoever piloted that shot was pretty on point. And then we go into like this, it was like 4th of July festival, or it was one of these little small town festivals where...
It's 4th of July, and the four teenagers that we meet, they've just graduated from high school, and they're all talking about what they're going to do post graduation and once the fall starts. And you have the like 4th of July town queen, who's played by Sarah Michelle Gellar, you know, your typical blonde in any horror movie. Mm-hmm. You have and she's going to go off to New York and become a star. And then you have Jennifer Love Hewitt that's going off to college because she wants to be some profession. Freddie Prinze Jr., I think he was going to go to New York also. And I forget what Ryan Phillippe's character was going to do.
Yeah, I guess he's just going to follow Sarah, where she was going, or I forget.
Right, because in the movie, Ryan and Sarah are in a relationship at the beginning of the movie.
We see Sarah, you know, the Sarah's character win her pageant, and everyone, well, they're in the balcony, the other three friends kind of cheering her on, like, ooh, yeah. And so we see this, then we get this tension later scene with, what's his name? The Big Bang dude.
Johnny Gill.
I mean, that dude don't age. I was like, dude, you look the same. I mean, he was in Roseanne. People know him more for Roseanne than as Darlene's boyfriend. And then, you know, Big Bang now. But yeah, I'm like, that dude don't age. And so it kind of sets up a suspect person throughout the story, because you kind of like, he seems very, you know, confrontational to these four people. And well, especially Ryan Felipe character, because he's kind of like the hothead jockey type person of the four.
Right. And it's also like the Richies versus the Poors. And Johnny Galecki plays like the kid whose parents work the lobster things and isn't as wealthy as Ryan's family, who has a big giant mansion at the end of the town.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. So you kind of see the tension there. And so we get to the scene where they kind of all four go, it's on the beach, of course, because it's at night. You know, Sarah and Felipe, they're kind of talking about their plans, and Jennifer and Freddie, like, they're kind of, you know, they're talking about their plans, and they kind of consummating on the beach.
Right. They're, you know, drinking as kids do, and then they get in their car to all drive home, and they hit someone on the road. And that's where all of the horror starts to take place. And it's like an after school special, sort of. You have the kids going, you know, we should call the cops. We need to help him. No, we need to like get rid of him. And ultimately the kids saying we need to get rid of him went out. And so they wrap up the body and take it to the water and throw it in the ocean.
Yeah. And plus, actually, watching the scene again, like, I was thinking about more. It's funny, like, when you rewatch movies with, like, kind of a more mature mind, you get more context in scenes. Just like that scene when all four of them were contemplating what to do, it wasn't the issue of should we do the right thing. It was more of an issue of, are we willing to sacrifice our privilege?
Right. You know? Yeah. It's definitely a privilege conversation. It's not a, should we help the dude or should we not? It's, am I going to fuck up the rest of my life or am I going to hide this so I can move on just fine?
Right. Exactly. Right. Even though I'm sure they parents might have lawyers that could probably get them out of the situation if they would have admitted something or be like, oh, yeah, you know, that's it. OK, well, yeah. But like the conversation or the argument of those four is like, well, you going to college is going to mess everything up for you. I mean, do you want, you know, you want that opportunity to be, you know, shot because, you know, you want to do the right thing kind of conversation. So, yeah. Well, yeah, after watching it again, like, wow, okay. Yeah, that's it's a very interesting, you know, contextual debate of right and wrong. But it's more like privilege and should we give it up?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So they decide to hide the entire thing. And now we skip forward 1 year and Jennifer Love Hewitt has gone off to college. She's coming home for, I think, 4th of July or Memorial Day weekend or something.
Yeah.
And she's looking like all pale and sickly and her hair is really greasy and she doesn't look like she's been taking care of herself. And we come to find out that really the desire to hide this accident to protect their privilege didn't necessarily help them, because the guilt took them down. And so Jennifer Love Hewitt's failing out of college. Sarah Michelle Gellar didn't go off to New York. She stayed in the town and works at the perfume counter. She's no longer with Ryan. Mm-hmm. They've broken up, and he's become sort of the asshole drunk in the town. Mm-hmm. And Freddie Prinze Jr. didn't go to New York to become a famous artist. He's now working on the lobster boat.
Right. Yeah. So kind of in retrospect, maybe if they did the right thing, maybe it would have propelled them to get to the places they actually wanted to go. But they were thinking that hiding the body, they would still be on course to like live out their dreams. But like I said, it was really clever writing. You know, Jennifer Love, like you said, Jennifer Love go back to town, and like the town is still how she left it. Like, in her friends, like, they haven't gone anywhere. They haven't tried to achieve what they wanted to do a year ago.
Yeah,
which is interesting. And also, I would say the 1 year later, and we like push in and we look at Jennifer Love, it kind of reminded me of like Linda Hamilton in Terminator 2. She's like all like, her hair's kind of over her face. She's all like pale. She's all like, you know, just disgruntled looking PTSD. I was like, wow, she went Sarah Connor a year later. She's all like, should have called the cops. So that was pretty cool. So we start seeing like letters and like random notes.
Right. Yeah. The first letter we see is at Love Hewitt's house. She gets a note. It's addressed to her, but there's no return address and there's no stamp on it. And she opens and it says, "I know what you did last summer." Mm-hmm. And this begins the series of unfortunate events of the stalker with a hook chasing after them, trying to kill them.
Yes. Yeah.
And them becoming detectives, trying to figure out who it is. Mm-hmm. And why the person that they thought they killed is actually not dead.
Right. Yeah. So I think Jennifer's character go to Anne Heche, because she's supposed to be the sister of the alleged person that they hit and killed.
Yeah, there was a newspaper story that a body was found. So they all think that the body that was found was the dude that they killed. And Anne Heche is the sister to the dude. And so they go and talk to her and find out that her brother didn't have a tattoo. And they all remember the body that they threw in the water having a tattoo.
Mm-hmm.
So they realize that she's not involved in it, but there's still someone out there trying to kill them, and now they don't know who it is.
So,
there's also like a big festival in town, because right. It's like the Labor Day or 4th of July parade, and Sarah Michelle Gellar is being replaced as the town queen with this year's town queen, so she has to participate in all of those activities.
Right.
But this is where the stalker serial fish killer starts fucking with them.
Right. Yeah. And it's toying with them. It's not just outright at first killing them. It's more like, hey, like, I'm around you, I can get you anytime kind of situation. Yeah.
Slow mental torture.
Exactly. Yeah, and that's when things start getting cray cray, and that's when people start like dropping off. And honestly, let's see, like, you know, the movie was very, you know, small, like, and intimate. It wasn't a Friday the 13th situation where you have like, you know, 10, 12, you know, kids at Camp Crystal Lake getting hacked off. It was very just like, okay, it's just a handful of these people who were following that could or could not be killed. We don't know.
And also, like, Friday the 13th, everything, like, it's the jump out at you type of scare. whereas this is more of the slow psychological scare. So, one of the, Sarah wakes up and she has really long, beautiful hair when she goes to sleep. And when she wakes up, it's all been chopped off. Jennifer Love Hewitt hears something in her trunk moving around. So she opens it and she sees a dead body in there with a bunch of crabs. When she runs to get her friends to show them, the body has disappeared.
Yeah. And that's when we get our classic scene of, what are you waiting for, huh? Yeah. Like I said, my adolescent self was like, yeah, Jennifer. Because she was just kind of like just spinning around, you know, spinning around the street. And they all had little crop tops, so I'm like, yay. But anyway.
Yeah,
like
it's been very unique.
Yeah, 90s, outfit. Yeah. You got the chokers and the crop tops, hey. Yeah, and so, yeah, and this is kind of like where everything started, you know, pushing into the third act of like the reveals and the deaths and the near deaths. And the desk again.
Yeah, so Ryan eventually ends up getting killed. Sarah gets chased through town, and we think she's going to get killed in the store she works at, but she gets away. Meanwhile, Bridget Wilson Sampras gets murdered in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so with that scene, all right, fun fact. So the producers felt that the movie wasn't gory enough. So the director, as a compromise, you know, when Bridget gets slashed and you see kind of the blood splatter across the glass door, entrance door at the perfume shop, like that was an added kind of gore to appease the producers. Because originally it was just like him just kind of like stab her and she falls. And they were like, oh no, I gotta be gorier than that. You know? So it seems like the director wanted to keep it very Hitchcockian and wanted to be all, you know, like a gore fest. They wanted to keep the violence kind of like fast. It's like, okay, that person got killed, so let's move on to the next victim type situation. So I thought that an interesting tidbit. Like more blood. Kids love blood.
I mean, like, all the horror movies or love horror movies from the 80s were very bloody and gory, and that came back in the 2000s, but I feel like in the 90s people were trying to be a little more elegant in their horror, which is why we have, I believe, like Silence of the Lambs is a 90s movie. Yeah. It's not horror.
Right.
Not bloody at all, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Like a psychological thriller. Yeah, you're right. And so they were trying to tap back into those older psychological type thrillers. And like you said, like, Silence of the Lambs. And like I said, and hats off to Kevin Williamson for like really trying to do something different, you know, with the whole kind of hack and slash element. Because, like I said, rewatching it, I was like, wow, this feels very, you know, mystery Hitchcockian. It don't feel slashery. It feels very atmospheric and mysterious, you know.
Yeah, like 90s horror movies were things like Misery, which is not bloody, but super psychological.
Yes.
Arachnophobia. Ah! Not bloody, but super fucking creepy. The People Under the Stairs, not super bloody, right. But
yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah, very creepy. Yeah, definitely. But I don't want to give too much away. People who've seen this movie know the ending, and people who haven't seen that, I don't want to spoil too much, but yeah, I mean, like I said, going back to this movie, there's definitely a hell of a lot of things that I picked up on this movie that I was like, oh, okay, like, that's very clever, or that's very smart, or that was very well shot. Like, there's a lot of stuff I kind of admired about, like, you know, this film, surprisingly, because I was like, oh, yeah, let's do what you did last summer, because, like, in my head, the movie, when I was, you know, in 97, the person I was when I absorbed it, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's going to be like a crazy romp. Woo! And then, like, when I watch it again, I'm like, huh, like, there's actually some really good technical stuff that's happening in this movie.
Yeah, I mean, it is a fun story. I ended up watching I Know What You Did Last Summer, too, right after this.
Wait, no. It's I Still Know What You Did
Last Summer. What You Did Last Summer, yeah. I have to say, I like the second one more than the first one.
Really?
It has a better cast.
Yeah, that's because Brandy's in it.
I mean, Brandy, but you have all these, like, old school actors in it that really add a nice sort of twist to it. Also, Jack Black's in it.
Oh, yeah. I forgot all about that. Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah, I need to rewatch. I got to rewatch the second one. I remember liking the second one. Like, I remember not saying, I like, oh, this is horrible. Like, when I remember I seen it when it came in, when it was in theaters, and, you know, when I watched it, I'm like, oh, you know, it's a decent second one. I'm like, it's not bad. But yeah, that's another I'll probably rewatch. I'm like, oh, this is actually really better. It's better than I thought when I remember it. Wait a minute, Mekhi Phifer is in there too, isn't it?
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Future from 8 Mile. With his fake dreadlocks and that went pretty well.
Sarah Michelle Gellar and Freddie Prinze Jr., they're married today, but this movie was actually the first time they met. They actually only had two scenes or two only two areas in the movie where they actually speak to each other, but they grew into friends during the filming, and that led to romance and marriage. So, yay! I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Yeah, because it's funny. Like so Ryan Phillippe and Sarah Michelle Gellar, like, they were in this movie, and then they later were in Cruel Intentions, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's funny, like...
Ryan Phillippe met his wife.
Uh-huh.
His first wife.
Mm-hmm.
I forget her name.
Reese, right?
Yeah. Reese with... No,
Reese with... Yeah. Wait a minute. So this came out before I Know What You Did. Or am I wrong? I don't know. I don't know the timeline. I just know all of them were in movies together. A couple of films ago. Yeah.
Right, well... It was the 90s.
And also, did you know this is based off of a popular writer?
Cruel Intentions came out after this. It came out in 99.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. All right, so did you know that this was based off a popular YA novel by Lois Duncan?
Nope.
All right, and the author Lois Duncan did not like this movie. Lois. She not likes me. She disliked several notable changes to her work. The fisherman and his hook were invented for the film, whereas on the page, the villain is just a hooded figure. The person the characters hit with their car was also changed from a boy on a bike to an adult. So in the book, it was a boy on a bike.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, that would have been interesting. It's like, you hit a kid, man. that would have been a little too intense for movies.
Yeah, that's more of a 2000 movie trope, not a 90s movie trope.
Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry, I should have kept on. Okay, so this movie directly influenced the casting of Cruel Intentions. Oh, Lord. Okay, so the movie's director told Cosmopolitan that he met with producer Neil Moretz in an attempt to set up the project, which is Cruel Intentions. Moretz, who also produced I Know What You Did Last Summer, told Crumble that he just worked with two actors who might be perfect for the leads. Their names are Ryan Phillippe and Michelle Gellar. So there you go.
There you go. There you go.
Yeah, Cruel Intentions was pretty. Yeah, that was actually, that wasn't a bad movie. That's kind of one of my guilty pleasure movies. Because that was Great Expectations with Anne Bancroft was in that one. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
So our rating system is. Ass on the sofa, it's good to watch. Put your shoes on, you're not sure if you should watch it or go do something else. Leave the house, you'd rather face people not wearing masks and a virus and die than watch this. So, what is your rating?
I don't know. I think I've been saying more positives about this film throughout the whole review. And to my surprise, I didn't know I would pick up a lot more technical stuff that was done really well in this movie. Like you were saying, it's a simple like slasher film, but it was done with a very distinct and different approach, more old school. I think that's why like they kind of went old school with the movie. It didn't go full out killer. It went, like I said, very mystery and stuff like that. Unraveling of the mystery type situation. So yeah, no, it's ass on, if you haven't seen it, it's ass on couch for me.
It's ass on the sofa for me as well. It's, you know, it's a fun 90s movie.
Yeah.
It is rated R. It's maybe not great for kids. It taps into, like, the urban legend trope with the guy with the fish hook. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go Google that. But, yeah, it's fun to watch.
Yeah, it's fun. Yeah, it's a good, you know, it's under 2 hours. Actually, the movie is not slow. It actually moves pretty well. The pacing is really good. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like 2 hours at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. If we time this right, I think if we do a Scream, what we should do, we should follow it up with Scary Movie. Because I know what you did last summer. Now, Scary Movie kind of ruined some of these scenes. Because Scary Movie spoofs all of these scenes, all these key scenes, which was pretty hilarious. It's still fun. Check it out, guys. We give it 2 bums on the couch. And anything our listeners in podcast land need to know before we sign off?
No, not
sure. Are you gonna give us a general tidbit? Because remember, like you gave us some like really good information. What were you talking about? You were talking about like diseases. I forget which review. You just went into like a minute of like, well, this is.
Sorry. I don't have any fun facts.
Any general tidbits about murder? Because you listen to like murder podcasts and all that shit. So this should be right up your alley.
No. No, not at all. Sorry.
That's okay. Shit has some ready for you guys next
week. I maybe have killed those brain cells this week, so maybe next week when we have lighter fare.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That's true. Yeah, 2020 has killed all of our brain cells, so we feel you, girl. Alright, so until Thursday, we wish y'all safe physical distancing and
wear a mask.
Yes. Peace.